I have shared this video almost every time I've trained throughout 2018 and 2019, and the profound impact that has had on management teams when I've done manager training has been, I can't even describe it for you. And because in these groups of classes, who have I had in there? I've had multi-generational managers, and all of a sudden you see lights start clicking off with them, even the ones who are younger. And you start seeing things that they need to start thinking about. I mean, you could take this video, actually, and just do an entire training session off of what you observed in that video, right? You observed stereotypes. You observed mentoring. You observed communication. You observed people having boundaries with each other. And you observed, at the end, people coming together toward a common goal. Well, if you can take those concepts, then, and turn them around to an organization and help them process through how you retain older workers and how you mentor and engage millennials, then you will accomplish what you just seen in that video in the workplace. Does that make sense? I mean, it's the same kinds of principles. So who do we have here? We have a multi-generational workforce. Now, one of the things that I kind of have somewhat of a beef with, and I was going to put it on here, but I thought, well, I don't know. I'll just say it. You know, you'll have a lot of articles right now that are talking about how we have, you know, today we have four generations in the workplace. Well, we really have five, and they have left off the silent generation, the veterans, who really need to be added to the slide. So those are individuals who are still in the workforce, who were born up through 1945, and they may be in their 80s, but many of those individuals are still working. They're doing part-time work. So I wanted to put that caveat on there. Some folks have just started to drop that last generation off. And all of the research materials that you see now, and like even some of the stuff on SHRM's website only has these last four. So it would be interesting to see who we have in here. Boomers, how many are y'all in here? 1946, 1964. Now just take a look around the room. Look, okay? All right. Gen Xers. Okay. Millennials. Look at that. Generation Z. Okay. These would be the youngest. But did you see the distribution even in this audience? You know, the boomers in here, we're like becoming the minority, and we're like shocked about that. We're just like, because it was always about us, right? I mean, it was always about us, boomers. That's a whole other discussion. But what do you do with this? Now, here's the other part of the problem that I see and that I face when I go into these organizations to do this kind of stuff. One, I believe that we are using these labels indiscriminately, impolitely, and disrespectfully. You know, you will go in and people will talk about, you know, we have millennials who feel that they're entitled and they're lazy and they're this and they're that. And I'm like, well, you got that boomer on your payroll over there who's just been phoning it in for the last 20 years because you haven't done anything with this person because they've been a long-standing performance issue who has some of the same characteristics and behaviors that you are, you know, chastising the millennial for. All those labels helpful. Now you think about this. When you think about generational value systems, each generation has things that may be unique to them, but they're fluid. So what if you have a situation, for example, where you have someone who is a late end or early in, you know, late millennial, early generation Z, who was raised by his grandparents who were baby boomers. And that young person probably would have adopted the value systems, the normative cultural value systems of their grandparents, which are not going to be consistent with what the archetype is for a millennial. And so it could be fluid that way. Well, and the reason why I say that and why that's such an important distinction is that is why you do have millennials who can be successful supervisors at early points in their careers and supervise people who may be much older than them. And I think it's unfair to them and unfair to a generation to perpetuate stereotypes like that when the reality is you have a lot of millennials now, depending on which generation of millennial you are, because I tend to think of three-stage millennials. I mean, I think there's X, Y, and Z, and they all are fluid in there. that are managers today, and they're very successful managers, and they have learned to have very adaptive management styles. So if we can get away from the labels, either on the front end or the back end, I think we're going to be in a better place to get people to start thinking about where they need to start from in a place of dignity and respect, right? Which transcends age in the first place. So look at this. The millennials are growing. Think about this. By 2025, they are going to account for 75% of the workforce. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? What does that mean for the baby boomers? What does it mean for Generation Xers? Does it mean like, well, we're just going to be run out on a pole? You know, and I say that term, and I don't mean to say that in a snarky way, but that's a very genuine fear, a very genuine fear of people and the baby boomer, whether you're on the very tail end of it or the late end of it. What's going to happen to me? And the reason why that fear is there is because it's real. Think about the Great Recession. That was very much of a reset button for a whole lot of people, right? And it may have been a reset button for some of you. You know, that whole economic time period brought to the forefront for all of us baby boomers, hey, you know, did we have to go through our savings?